Jerry. So, being a very old person, I am prone to spend time in reminiscence, to say the least. If you haven't reached this stage yet, and I know many of you have not, there come a time when what goes on automatically in this world of image and concept is that it seems to be like a review of life's occurrences so far happen with aging. So I can be in my room and without realizing it for the last half hour, I've been really enjoying some kind of memory of an event, very often from remote past, and sometimes very vividly and with accuracy, it replays. That goes on a lot. So in one of my afternoons of reminiscence, I started wondering, well, as long as all this past is flowing out, how did I come to step onto this bizarre path? How did that happen? How did it occur that here I am at this age, I'm a meditation teacher, and I spend most of my time in meditation practices of different kinds? How did that occur? It doesn't occur to everyone, clearly, but it has happened with me. So I started thinking about what were the steps, what actually occurred that aroused so much interest. But I was what was I in 69? I don't know. 35? I was that old? That seems older than I was. Around that time, '68 or so, there was a lot of change happening for many of us, and particularly in the United States. The psychedelic period, politically, more and more civic consciousness. But what grabbed me? I had been with and studying, intensely studying, somehow this happened, with two wonderful teachers who were really, in the time, were icons of their in their fields, body-oriented awareness, Ida Rolf, and the Gestalt therapy, waking up emotionally, intellectually, and physically, Fritz Perls. I had spent a lot of time with them surrendering as much as possible to their reshaping of what I was, which was a good question, what that was. I remember once asking my teacher, Fritz, why did you choose me? He like selected me to be his apprentice, and just out of, with no introduction at all, he just said that's what he wanted. And I asked him weeks later, well, why did you do that? Because look at my life now. It's totally changed. And he said, oh, I just saw that you were still alive. Well, I've thought often of that, of course. And now it has great meaning for me that he saw me in that particular way. I was in the army. I was an officer in the military. I was very buttoned down tight and emotionally pretty buttoned down tight also. And those two teachers stepped in to my experience and started monkeying with things and turning dials and poking pressure points and manipulating my environment so much so that I lost track of who I thought I was and started exploring a world of possibility and spontaneity and improvisation as well as working with groups and psychologically oriented groups, awareness oriented groups. And I wondered what hooked me actually into the work. What did I get attracted to? So I started digging in memory, and I remember clearly the day that I came across the teachings of my spiritual master, which that encounter resulted in moving my life, family, and friends, and taking a trip to India. But what was it that was the impulse to do that? At the time that it happened, had been with these two teachers. My life had exploded into what in the article in the Journal del Pacifico says was the American dream. And yes, I guess it was the American dream, from abject scraping by in the army with a family of five. I suddenly became sought after by people who wanted to have individual appointments with me. And I bought a very large house in a very desirable town, Mill Valley, a house with a swimming pool and a tennis court. And it was incredibly extravagant. I had never owned anything before. Suddenly I had a house and all of these possessions and a schedule that was constant and all work and very little play, 24/7, working very hard, Gestalt groups, weekends and evenings, body work and during the day, accumulating colleagues, all of that was happening. And I, at one point, and I remember the moment when this happened, I was walking to my house, and I remember looking down at my Birkenstocks and where I was standing with a full realization, I'm really unhappy. I mean, all of this has occurred, and which is ordinarily called success, and I'm in demand and I'm miserable. I was very unhappy and realized something is wrong in this situation, something's missing. I didn't think of it at the time, but what was missing was a spiritual element. There was the mind-body disciplines were fully present, but I had no spiritual ground at all. And I was lost in this materialistic world, lost, uninspired, unhappy. And that's when I went to visit a friend nearby, and he was not home. Walked in the house. People didn't lock their doors then, if you can imagine. Sat down to wait for him. Saw this piece of paper on the floor. Casually began to read the piece of paper, and it was a transcribed statement by my spiritual master in India describing what he was teaching. And I remember now what hooked me in that description, because that's when it happened. I took that paper home and showed it to my wife, and we began to take steps to make connection to the teachings that I was reading about. In the description of the work, he's talking about getting tuned into a sound occurring naturally in the head, in the body, a sound that he called the shabad, a vibratory sound, not of the physical ears, but an inner sound, and that getting tuned to that sound was very important because it served, and here, these are the words that caught me, it served like a radar beam inside, an internal radar beam, so that if one stayed aware of it and stayed connected to the radar beam, it will take you home, is one of the words. It will guide you home. Well, I'm a little embarrassed to say to you, that was the moment. The notion of finding a guide to take me home, out of all of that confusion, out of all of that instant uproar, home being where the heart is, home a place where you rest, where you relax, home being a place where you go to be safe. A home is a place where you're always welcome. So hopefully, home, that it has so many meanings, but for most of us, it has a meaning of letting down, to stop running around, to be more and more peaceful, to live more and more simply, all of that it meant. And when I read that, that there was within me a vibratory sound that if I followed, stayed tuned to, it will take me to my true home. I signed up, is what happened. And I, at that point in my life, I was late 30s, 37, so 35, 37. I, at that point, was so confused and felt so overwhelmed by having been taken apart by these two teachers, with Fritz working on emotional life, unfinished emotional business, very powerful, working on identifying emotions and their understanding their meanings in life and letting them go, with Ida learning to feel moment to moment the physical presence of the structure and working with its imbalance or balance, all of that occurring all at once, the notion of resting and being quiet at home was amazingly attractive. I wasn't searching for God. I wasn't searching for a religion at all. I was searching for rest and peace and a sense of direction, purpose. And I was very in earnest about that. I was really sincere about that. I wanted to awaken out of the confusion, and I wanted that very deeply in the suffering of the, of that time. And that's when the path began for me, because when I finally came under the influence and in the physical presence of this teacher in India, he taught me a way of using mantra to quiet the mind, to create that inner peace and quiet, so that I might be able to hear with my inner hearing the sound of silence. The Buddhists call the nada sound. I learned much afterwards. I didn't know that it was known in Buddhism at the time. He taught me how to listen for that sound, and this was before I could hear it. But I was so intent on finding that way home, that radar beam, that inner Shabad, I was so intent on being saved by that experience that there was nothing that would be able to be get in my way on that path. I jumped in immediately, all four limbs, and tried to stay afloat. And I jumped in by practicing what he taught me a lot. I listened very carefully, and I did exactly what he said, and I did that for thousands of hours. And I was consumed by that work and the path, by my own desire to awaken, to become free of the oppression that I had felt in all my success story. I had no doubt about what I was doing, and submitted myself in And my wife and I worked that together at that. We submitted ourselves to a rigorous program of meditation and then body work and diet and more meditation and more meditation. All of it centered around tuning into the nada sound, the shabad, the beloved, the voice of the Holy Spirit. The beginning was the word, tuning into the vibratory sound of life happening in the moment, here and now. And that tuning in always brings you, as I said, into this here and now. Because that's where life is happening. And that's where the sound is happening. It's life itself being heard. It took for me a year or so, maybe more, to begin to listen in the way that I listen now to the inner sound, the sound of life occurring, vibratory sound of the material world and life coming together. That path from that initial reading of that statement has never changed. Many years of Buddhism and Buddhist retreats and profound appreciation for the clarity of Buddhism, but always, always, always unable to leave behind the search for the shabad, the vibratory sound of creation. I don't know whether to be embarrassed or proud. The fact was that I became obsessed and worked on that path for many years because of I had and still do an overpowering desire to be awake, alive, awake, and to find freedom from suffering. Freedom from suffering. I just learned from Jack Kornfield in a conversation with the Dalai Lama several days ago. He said to all of us who teach the Dharma, he said, enough emphasizing, enough of the focus on suffering. It's time to focus on cessation, he said. It's time to focus on the third noble truth, the possibility of freedom from suffering. Not so much attention to the suffering now, more attention to the freedom, the fact. It's not just a story, but it's absolutely and inevitable, if in earnest and in desire and in sincerity, inevitable to become free of suffering. That work is still mine, my work. It has changed a lot from becoming a task and something that needed to be regimented and attended to, constantly kept alive, kept alive. Now it's just who I am. I don't have to think about whether I should meditate or listen to silence. It all happens automatically now. And the reasons that's so is the original promise of the path. The sound will take you home. The original promise has been kept. It has, in fact, guided me home. I have been home for quite some time now. And it's not just, obviously, it's not just Todos Santos and our house and the community and Cuatro Vientos, the Dharma talks. It's much more than that. It's an inner feeling of contentment. It's an inner feeling of rest, restfulness. It's an inner certainty that my work is finished. In the old sense of the word, of pursuing some goal. It's no longer a matter of pursuing anything. It's here. I live in it. It is my home. When I picked up that piece of paper and read that sentence, and it hooked me, that was some kind of, I don't know what to call that for. For personally, for me, it was divine intervention, because it has been the story of the last, 40 years, at least. I'm home. I am home. It has brought me home. The sound of silence, the Shabbat, the concentration, practice that's necessary to quiet the mind enough to listen, is a reality for me. It's not just a teaching to follow, it is life itself. I'm home. And the Shabbat is always here. And it's the same, I know, with you too. It's in your mind, ringing all the time. Never stops. It doesn't stop. Never once. A guide like no other guide. Your own personal interior guide. To lead you home. Or whatever home means to you. For me, it meant a lot. It meant being saved from the trap of materialistic attachment and greed. It really meant that, being saved from the confusion and a work of constantly more work. Work leading to more work. No, I've had many, many, many hours of rest and bliss. I'm a bliss junkie, actually. And I am a bliss junkie. The same as I'm a chocolate junkie. Both. And I enjoy them equally. So from that day, I think it was 68, that day, and everything that has happened since then, the practice, the reality of the inner sound, the notion of being fully awakened to love, fully awakened to life itself, fully awakened in awareness as much as that's possible for me. From that day forward, that has been what's been going on. And it's amazing to me how it never changed from that sentence in that paper. If you listen to the radar, if you follow the radar beam, it will take you home. I mean, I can hear that with a skeptical, you know, cartoon mind also. I've thought of it thousands of times, of course. However, no matter how I may think of it, the fact is that has been the story. That has been the story. And the Shabbat has taken me home. Here. Now. Here. Here now. And I talk with you about it all the time because I want to share it, of course. Whenever you find in your life things that are really, really good things that you know would be good for everybody, it's a trap, potentially. You know, it's dangerous to become a zealot, a fanatic, a nutcase. I'm a nutcase. I absolutely love this moment.
You know, sometimes they tell you gotta leave go of the love. Sorry.
What?
They tell you that.
What?
Sometimes you gotta leave go of even the love. Because you're still attached.
Sometimes you can be attached to what?
Love.
I would say if you're going to become attached to something, be attached to love. You're going to be attached to something.
Who said?
Try life without it. Yeah.
My training in Buddhism said, give up your attachments. Drop body and mind.
Yes.
That's what Dogen Zenji said.
Yes.
Dropping body and mind. Dropping.
Yeah. Try dropping your thinking.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's okay.
Attachment to love. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. But I would say, not as a warning, but encourage you to become attached to love. Thank you.
Shabbat.
Shabbat.